What's up, you guys? Time once again for Flickers of Fear, and here we are again in Folk Horror February. I've been taking advantage of Shudder, who just added a whole bunch of folk horror movies. They had some on there previously as well, but because of the documentary that came out, which I've talked about on a few other videos, which is called Woodlands Dark and Days Bewitched, which is kind of like a comprehensive folk horror documentary, about 3 hours and 15 minutes long, and it's excellent. And since they added that to Shudder, they also added a selection of folk horror films from, you know, the 60s to the present day. I believe there's between 45 and 50 different folk horror movies on there. So if you don't have Shudder yet, I mean, you definitely should. You know, it's just a great service. I like it a lot. I'm not sponsored by them or anything like that, although it'd be nice. But yeah, I just think it's really a good value for the money, and they're always adding new stuff. They add new stuff every week, old stuff, new stuff, classics, originals, everything. So, as I said, this whole month we're going to do folk horror movies, and this movie right here, which is also on Shudder, I believe the first time I watched it, because I've seen it two or three times, the first time I watched it, I think it was on Netflix, although I don't believe it's on Netflix anymore. I watched it back in probably 2017, 2018, and I really, really liked it. And because, you know, much like when I talked about The Wailing, it was one that I saw around the same time period. And since I was doing folk horror, I decided I would do this one as well, just in case, you know, people hadn't seen it. So, and I definitely wanted to give it some love. So this is a movie called A Dark Song. It came out in 2016, although I believe it wasn't released in the US until 2017, like on streaming services and stuff like that. This is an Irish film, and was actually the debut film of a guy named Liam Gavin. I don't know if he's made any sense then, but the fact that this was his first one, I'm always like so impressed when that happens. Like, it was kind of the same thing that happened with like Ari Aster when like Hereditary came out, and you know, he's like, hey, this is my first movie, just like blew everything away. Yeah, so I'm very, very impressed when people's first feature film is this good. Now, I will say, this movie, okay, if you're really into occult stuff, and I mean occult stuff like in the old school, like grimoire, Aleister Crowley, that kind of thing, like the whole ritual aspect of it, then you will really, really dig this. It is, you know, I know it's a cliche to say it's like a slow burn. I definitely do like those. It's a very contained movie. There's really only two characters. It takes place in one location, more or less. There's a couple scenes at the beginning that are outside of that, but pretty much the whole thing takes place in this remote, like, filthy farmhouse. And pretty much the end, all of the horror comes from the sort of like escalating tension between the two characters and your uncertainty about what exactly is going to happen. So it's kind of like the first two acts are mostly, I want to say it's like almost like psychological horror, just these kind of like two characters interacting, and they're both really interesting characters, so I think that really carries it along. But then like the third act goes way more like supernatural. So, you know, there is a lot of like creepy horror elements toward the end because it does kind of go crazy, but up until then, it's almost like, I want to say it's almost like a stage play, not exactly. I don't know if I want to say that or not, but just in the sense that it's basically just like two characters interacting over a prolonged period of time. So the setup of the movie, there's this woman named Sophia, and at the beginning, she's renting this house out in this really like remote old creepy, terrible house, like with no heating and all this other stuff, out in North Wales, like in the countryside somewhere. So she pays for like a year in advance and then gives the estate agent like extra money for privacy, she says. So she rents it a year in advance, and that's what she's doing. You don't know entirely why at first. So then she goes and interviews this guy, Joseph Solomon, who's played by Steve Oram, who usually, I think he normally does comedy. I think he's been in a couple of other horror movies. I thought that he was in The Canal, maybe. I don't think it was a huge part, but I thought I remembered seeing him in that. Please correct me if I'm wrong. But he's like, you know, him and Catherine Walker, who plays Sophia, are basically the only two characters, other than a couple glimpses like of other people at the beginning. So she's interviewing this guy, Joseph Solomon. Now, he is an occultist. She has apparently gone to, because, you know, I guess people that do like occult rituals and stuff, like in the modern day, it's probably like, you know, kind of a small scene, I'd imagine. So she kind of lists off. She's like, I went to this guy, I went to that guy, I went to this guy. None of them wanted to help me. Look, I have 80,000 pounds. I want you to do this ritual for me. Now, Joseph, or Mr. Solomon, as he insists on being called, is not a pleasant individual. He's a little bit abrasive, let's call it that. Kind of bullying, kind of a dick. It's interesting because I saw like a little clip of an interview with Steve Oram that said he was actually really interested to play this role because he's like, usually, you know, in a horror movie or any kind of movie, really, when you have somebody that's playing an occultist, he's like, normally you would have kind of like an old wizard type dude, or you would have kind of like a younger, suave, like magician type dude. He liked that this movie has as the occultist, essentially, he said, just a working class bloke. And it was indeed a very interesting choice. I don't think I've ever seen any other movie that just had a regular schlub, like, as an occultist. But he does know his shit. But he, again, very, very abrasive, very unpleasant. So, basically, Sophia tells him, look, it's like, I rented this house. You gave me all these specifications. She rented this house. It's kind of, like, based a little bit on, it's based on an actual occult, right? The Abramelin. There's some stuff that's in there that's not super accurate, like blood drinking and stuff. But I was actually watching a video earlier by a dude who I guess was like a professor of like, you know, occult studies or whatever. And he was talking about this movie and he was kind of pointing out where Will's like, well, that's not like the Abramelin. But he's like, other than that, this is one of the most accurate portrayals of a magical ritual of this type that's ever been, you know, put to film. So he's like, obviously, Liam Gavin, the director who also wrote it, did do his homework on this, like, big time. So it's kind of based on, if you're really into, like, Aleister Crowley and all the shit that he was doing at Boleskine House and stuff like that, this is very much inspired by that. So, yeah. So she says, okay, well, you know, you told me we needed a house with, you know, this room had to be facing west and all this other kind of stuff had to be really isolated. And she's like, so I did that. I rented it for a year. And at first, he doesn't really want to do it. Now, he comes and looks at the house and he's like, yeah, whatever, the house is fine. The reason that he doesn't really want to do it at first is because, spoiler alert, she has kind of lied to him a little bit about why she wants to do it. At first, he's like, basically, this ritual will summon your guardian angel, and maybe some other things too. There might be some demons. It's very, very dangerous. So he does let her know that up front. She wants to summon her guardian angel. She tells him at first, because she's like, I love someone and they don't love me back. So it's almost kind of like she wants to do a love spell. He thinks this is lame, you know, and he's just kind of like crabby about it. And he's like, look, just I came out here and looked at the house. I don't want to do it. You know, just give me the money and I'll just, you know, piss off or whatever. But then finally, she comes clean to him and she says, no, actually, you know, because he's going to leave. Like, she takes him to the train station. And then she says, okay, I lied. Actually, what I wanted to do was I want to ask my guardian angel if I can speak to my dead son. She had a son who was 7 years old and he was apparently kidnapped and murdered. And she wants to talk to him, she says. So Joseph's like, well, why didn't you tell me that to start with? And she was like, well, I just thought it would be too much. I thought it'd be much easier to say. And he's like, look, you know, this is heavy shit that we're dealing with, you know, angels, demons, all of that kind of stuff. He's like, you know, your soul's on the line. He's like, you really have to be honest with me. So now that that's all out in the open, they go to the house and proceed with the ritual. Now, as I said, once they go to the house, they do not leave, pretty much. So basically, the whole entire movie is them doing this ritual. And I know that maybe when I just say it like that, it sounds kind of boring, but it's totally, totally not. It's like really, really compelling. And I think a lot of it is because of the character work. And I really like the interaction between these two. I like that neither one of them are particularly, I don't want to say they're unlikable, they're real flawed people. Joseph Solomon is particularly unlikable at first, but as it goes on, he does do some pretty fucked up shit. That's pretty unforgivable. But he does show another side of himself, that maybe he's not just this terrible, like, you know, grouchy ass bullying person. Sophia, obviously, because she's a grieving mother and she's willing to go to these lengths to do this rigorous, you know, kind of ritual, which I'll explain in a minute, that she's willing to do that to talk to her dead son once again. So obviously you're going to have sympathy for her there, but she's not entirely honest either. Like, she has some other ulterior motives in there that she doesn't really tell him at first, which again, so that kind of makes her unlikable. And also the fact that he, you know, as abrasive as he is, he does tell her, look, we have to do this, that, and the other thing. Are you ready to do that, as unpleasant as it is? She says that she is, but then sometimes when push comes to shove, she does actually, like, complain about it. So, like I said, that does kind of make her a little bit more unlikable, but unlikable doesn't mean that you don't want to watch them, because these two characters are very, very, very compelling, and the relationship they have between them. So this ritual, the Abramelin, it basically concerns, I mean, he goes around the house and, you know, draws all the chalk circles and all the symbols and everything like that in all these different rooms, and he goes and explains what each room signifies and all these other things. Now, prior to them going to this house, because he says, once we close ourselves into this house, because he does the whole salt ring around the house and everything like that, once I close off this salt ring, we cannot leave, and this ritual may take a year. Now, prior to them even going to the house, Sophia has abstained from sex, even masturbation. She has abstained from alcohol for the prior 6 months. So she's been, like, purifying herself even before they go to the house and, like, seal themselves in. So basically, she buys, like, a year's worth of supplies, and she is ready to close herself in with essentially a total stranger to do this ritual to contact her son, or at least that's what she says at first. I don't necessarily want to spoil everything about this, because there are, like, some revelations. Like I said, she's not completely honest about what her intentions are, but, you know, that comes to light later on. So he seals the house up, and now they're both in this house for the long haul. He's like, literally, we cannot leave until this ritual is completed, or all kind of terrible shit will take place. So over the course of the movie, you see it just keeps ramping up and ramping up, the shit that she has to do. Like, basically, it's kind of like, and as I said, it's pretty fairly accurate to the actual ritual, in the sense that you're trying to sort of take yourself to your physical limits. Like, for example, she has to sit in this circle for, like, 3 days. You know what I mean? She can't eat, she can't sleep, she can't go to the bathroom. She just has to sit there and not move and, like, contemplate this rock. She has to copy and recopy, like, all of these symbols and all of these kind of incantations and all this other stuff. And basically, there's a couple things that she doesn't want to do. She has a problem with forgiveness, which is one of the big themes of the film. And because she won't do this one forgiveness ritual, she's like, no, absolutely not. He's like, okay, well, then we have to work around it, meaning you are going to have to drink my blood, which she really doesn't want to do, but, you know. So she has to do, like, all these physical purges. She has to do, like, these mushrooms that, like, clean her all out, so she's, like, puking and everything. And so, you know, and obviously Mr. Solomon, Joseph, is, you know, just, he's the one that knows everything, so he's, like, bossing her around. You know, she oversleeps one day, and he throws buckets of cold water on her, and he does, like, all these, you know, he's just constantly, like, yelling at her, and they're just constantly at each other's throats. Although, as it goes on, they do kind of, I don't know if they become friends necessarily, but they do kind of develop a mutual respect, I guess, and, you know, more of a protective type of thing. Although you never get the sense that, I don't know if that's fair to say, I don't know if you never really get the sense that he cares all that much, like, whether she's able to contact her son or not. But, you know, it's kind of like, it's a very, very strange, like, relationship. And there is actually one point in there where he does something really kind of fucked up, because at the beginning of the ritual, like before they seal themselves in, he's basically like, well, we might have to do like sex magic, you know, it's meaning you have to have sex with me. And he's like, you know, are you willing to do that? And she says, yeah. And then at one point that comes up, but then I don't necessarily want to spoil it, but then he's just kind of like, oh, well, we didn't even have to do that for the ritual. I just, you know what I mean? So it was that kind of thing. And she was like, you piece of shit. And then like she pees in his oatmeal or whatever. But so yeah, it's a very contentious relationship. Now, as the time goes on, and as I said, the ritual does take a very long time. Like the seasons are passing outside. A few times because she messed up or she lied about something, like sometimes they have to go back and like start things over. Now, at first, little things happen in the house because she keeps asking him how do we know that it's starting to work? And like little things will happen, like a bird hit the window, like, you know what I mean? Like smacked into the window and died. And he's like, look, that's a sign. It's like, so it's shit like that, which could be nothing. So for a long time, and the first time I watched this, like for a long time, I was sitting there thinking, is that guy just like full of shit? And this is just the way he gets his jollies? Is just by pretending that he knows all this stuff and then like ordering women around like in this isolated house and they can't leave and like he has them under his power. It's like, does he actually know what he's talking about? Is anything actually gonna happen, or is he just full of crap? Because for a long time, little things will happen like, oh, there's a thump under the floor, or like I said, the bird hitting the window. You know, little things like that, or there are these little flowers like scattered in the hallway that weren't there before and they can't figure out where they came from. So it's just like little plausible deniability shit. So she's kind of like, okay, well, that means, and he keeps saying, no, that means something, that means it's working. And she's kind of like, I don't think this is working. I just, you know, I think you're full of crap. But then like, as the movie goes on, the supernatural stuff starts to get more and more, you know, undeniable. This does have kind of, like I said, I don't want to say it's a crazy ending, but it's, considering how subdued the movie was up to that point, the end, I was just kind of like, wow, all right. I kind of like it though. It was like pretty awesome. I was not expecting it because it goes big, you know what I mean? And that's all I'm going to say, considering, as I said, how subdued it was up to that point. So I thought that was like a really ballsy like ending, and I thought it was kind of cool. Some people, I was reading the reviews on Shudder, and most people really love this movie. It has like 91% or something like that on Rotten Tomatoes and on some of the other, you know, services, the, you know, rating services. But some people didn't like the end because they thought it was, I don't know. I think somebody said, well, they thought it was lame, or the implication of it was lame. I didn't think that at all. I actually thought it was a really good ending and it tied everything together thematically. So, you know, but like I said, I like that it went like kind of ballsy, and then also, yeah, it's a audacious ending. I'll say that. But prior to that, there's just like really, really cool. I love like the slow ramp up of just this creepy shit. Cause like I said, at first, he keeps saying, yeah, the ritual's working, but she doesn't buy it at first because it's just kind of this stuff that maybe could be supernatural, but maybe could be totally nothing. But then as it goes on, she starts, for example, like hearing her son's voice like talking to her from like behind this closed door, and it's like really, really creepy. Like she knows it's not really him, that it's like some demon that's impersonating him to try to get her to, you know, do whatever, is try to get her to open the door. But that's super creepy. And like one time she's in this room, like the study, and she's writing her incantations, and she looks up and there's just this black figure, like a shadow, just sitting there in the chair, like, and all you can see is like its cigarette, like at the end, and it's like so creepy. And it's just like, but little shit like that. But then at the end it just goes like whole hog. But you know, like I said, if you're really into, I don't think I've ever seen a movie that basically took an actual, or you know, as close as I've ever seen in film, an actual magical ritual and put it to film in this way, and kind of showed you that people that were into the occult, you know, whether it was Aleister Crowley or whatever, like prior to that, like what it was they were trying to do. And I like too that it's not, it doesn't make magic look evil, you know what I'm saying? It's kind of like just showing it as like another way to knowledge or enlightenment. And, you know, yeah, there's some, like, some bad shit could happen if you fuck around with it or you don't do it right, but it doesn't portray it in a negative light. Like, it doesn't portray it as anything satanic or anything like that. It's just, like, kind of neutral, but, you know, however it is that you use it. So I like that they did that, and I really like the fact that they showed, like, the mechanics of this ritual and how difficult it would be, how difficult it is, and how desperate you would have to be to, you know, to get what you wanted out of this ritual, that you would be willing to seal yourself into a house in the middle of nowhere for a year with a very unpleasant man who you don't really know, and subjecting yourself to, you know, all kind of really, really physically taxing and mentally taxing, you know, things just to get to this one particular point. And I really like that, because I feel like that's very, very unexplored, particularly in horror movies. But yeah, if you're into occult stuff, as I said, that's almost kind of like a play. It's really only two characters. I think that toward the beginning of the movie, like before Sophia goes to the house, she actually like has a conversation with her sister, like in a restaurant or something, and she's talking about what she's gonna do, and you know, that gives you some exposition about why she's so desperate to do it, because she talks about her son being dead. And so, you know, but other than that, I think that's pretty much it. Like, until you get to the end and there's, like, demons and stuff, that's pretty much the only time you see another person. So this is a very, very, it's not even claustrophobic, I don't think. I didn't find it particularly claustrophobic, but it is, you know, very, it's very, very isolated. It's just these two people's interactions with each other doing this really rigorous, like, strenuous thing, and like not knowing whether it's gonna work or not, you know what I mean? And it's just like, I don't know. And the cinematography is gorgeous. I love the score and the sound design of this. I have to point that out as well. Excellent. I really, really liked all the score and everything for this too. But yeah, all the shots of the Welsh countryside and stuff like that, just gorgeous. You know, I spent quite a bit of time in Wales, not North Wales. I actually was in South Wales, but you know, it looks very, very similar, and you know, just these kind of like distant rolling hills, and it's like really, really beautiful. But yeah, this is definitely, definitely a really, really cool folk horror movie if you're into occult stuff, and if you're into kind of more creepy, slow burn type of stuff, then you should definitely check this out if you haven't seen it. As I said, I watched it on Shudder. It used to be on Netflix, but I don't think it is anymore, at least not in the United States. But I'm sure you can probably find it on some other streaming services if you don't have Shudder. But if you've seen it, let me know what you thought about it in the comments. And that will do it for this Flickers of Fear, continuing with Folk Horror February. And I will see you guys on the next one. Bye.